Migration officials in Honduras that Latino USA spoke to told us that so far, the unaccompanied minors from Honduras who showed up at the U.S. border this summer have not yet been deported. But plenty of young migrants have been deported back to Honduras from Mexico. As our producer Marlon Bishop reports, it's not always so easy for them to pick their lives back up where they left them. Marlon has our story now from San Pedro Sula in Honduras, outside the center where young deportees are received.
And what are you doing here today?
I'm here. I just came to pick up my two cousins who had left to the United States, and apparently they didn't make it. So it was pretty much like a road trip for them. But I'm glad they okay, in good health and everything.
Franklin Alvarado was not happy when he got word that his little cousins tried to migrate. He was once an immigrant himself. He lived most of his life in the States before being deported. That's why he speaks English so well. But his cousins left without even telling their mom. And that's not cool.
They just left the house, man. Only the next thing we knew, the immigration called from Mexico. So we came and picked them up here because they arrived here today.
The cousins in question step out of the deportation center and walk into a flurry of hugs from family members. Johan is 15. His brother Carlos is 17. We're not using their last names for their protection. The brothers decided to try and leave Honduras after a run-in with some gang members from their town. Here's Johan. The gang members told the brothers that they had to join the gang. If not, they would kill them, their families as well. Johan and Carlos told their dad, an immigrant who lives in San Francisco, about what happened. Dad got worried and decided to pay a smuggler to bring them across the border, stat. Now, Carlos, the older brother, says he's nervous about being back. He doesn't know what the gang will say or do to him. How will you avoid them, I ask. Never leave the house, he says. A few hours ago, the brothers rolled through the border between Guatemala and Honduras on a Mexican coach bus full of young deportees. Yaeli Mia is a volunteer with the Honduran Red Cross. They run a little station here at the border. She says for the last few days in a row, there's been 6 buses from Mexico every day. Earlier in the year, the flow of returning migrants was even crazier, she says. 15 buses might come in one day, with only a single Honduran bus coming to meet them, and half the kids would get stranded at the border. Situations like these have called the government's readiness into question.
Absolutely. They are not prepared for these children coming back.
This is Yolanda Gonzalez. She works at a Catholic NGO that deals with migration in Honduras, kind of a watchdog. She says there have been all kinds of problems. For example, for a long time, the Center for Returned Kids didn't even have a bathroom. And at the height of the crisis, a large number of the minors would somehow get lost during the deportation process from Mexico.
20%, they were missing. They didn't arrive at San Pedro Sula.
I spoke with Marta Reyes, an official with the agency that handles childhood development. She couldn't confirm or comment about the lost deportees, but she says, regardless, the system for receiving kids has been steadily improving. For now, she says, they're able to attend the needs of the kids who are arriving. It's easy for the government to say that everything is under control, but I wanted to see for myself how the deported kids are adjusting to being back. So the next day, I visit Johan and Carlos at their home in a small city called La Lima. The house is sparsely furnished. On one wall, a sign reads, "Welcome home," with an exclamation point. The boy's mother works part-time cleaning a school, but it's not enough money to sustain the 6 kids she supports, so she supplements her income selling loose cigarettes and nips of liquor. The family scrapes by on a few dollars a day. There wasn't enough money for Carlos to attend school this year, so he helps his mom clean it instead. She makes him do the bathrooms. It's really gross, he says. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
Sí, eso sí, que es feo. No lo recomiendo a nadie.
When Carlos talks about his trip to Mexico and back, he has this kind of amazing teenage optimism about it. He says it was kind of fun.
Fue divertido porque conocí lugares que no había.
He says it was fun because I got to see new places I'd never seen, try new food I never tried. When I ask him what's next for him, he tells me that he and his brother are planning to try and cross the border again, and soon. The longer they wait here, the more likely they are to run into trouble with the gang. I ask him if he's scared to go to Mexico again.
Nah,
he says. I'm scared to be back here in Honduras, but crossing the border, it's not a big deal.
No es gran cosa.
I met a lot of young deportees while I was in Honduras, and almost every single one told me the same thing, that they will attempt to migrate again. And that's why, in a way, the stepped-up enforcement and the deportations, it might all be in vain. As long as kids like Carlos and Johan are sent right back into the dangerous situations that compelled them to leave in the first place, their deportations will just be temporary. Yolanda Gonzalez says this is the biggest problem with Honduras' way of dealing with deported minors. There's no policy for reintegration, no follow-up.
The process ends when the kids come to Honduras, and when the parents come, perhaps they are given $25 to $50, and it ends there. I mean, this child disappears again for the state.
If all goes to plan, Carlos imagines that soon enough, he'll be in San Francisco with his father. But he's nervous about the idea of reuniting.
Casi no lo he visto. Solo por fotos.
I've almost never seen him, just in photos, he says. His father left 11 years ago, when Carlos was really young. He sent money here and there, but they've barely had a relationship beyond that. What do you think the U.S. will be like, I ask.
En mi mente, muy frío.
Carlos perks up. In my mind, he says, it's really cold, but nice. I want to see the bridge. What's it called?
El Golden Gate.
We're interrupted by a plane landing overhead. Carlos is used to the sound. He lives right near the airport that serves San Pedro Sula, one of the biggest cities in the country. He's never been on a plane. But he says he had a friend who was deported from Mexico on one and told him all about it.
Dice que a la hora de subirse,
I hear when you're going up, it's not a good feeling, he says. But once you get up in the air, it's really beautiful.
Es bien bonito.
But it's kind of annoying, he adds, that it takes days and days to get over there by land, and the plane can send you back in just a few hours. I became Facebook friends with Carlos and Johan before I left, so that we could stay in touch. About a month later, I saw something come across my newsfeed that kind of made me drop my jaw. A photo of Johan standing on a hill, with the Golden Gate Bridge stretched out behind him.
Latino USA producer Marlon Bishop. And by the way, if you want to see photos from our reporting trip to Honduras, we have some beautiful albums up on our website, latinousa.org, as well as on our Facebook page.